you, Brother Dan. It's always good to be at Curtis. You know, we go back a long ways. Long ways. We're going to turn to Luke chapter 5, and our text grows out of this context. Luke chapter 5. And verse 32. Luke 5:32. Steve is not here, I take it. He's not here.
Okay.
No, no. Just let him know we're praying for him, for his family. Okay. Just let you know we're praying for you. And Alana, still praying for you and your family. No man also, having drunk old wine. Okay. Very good. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new. For he said, the old is better. I worked as a nursing aide many years ago at Veterans Hospital in Ann Arbor. And there was a gentleman there that, back in those days, you could smoke in bed. Imagine that, smoke in bed. But in hospital, you can smoke everywhere, anywhere. And this man, one cigarette after another, one cigarette after another. I really felt sorry for him because that's why he was there. He had cancer of the throat. And he just couldn't stop. And he just smoked one cigarette after another. And then he went in for a throat surgery. And he had to have a tracheotomy. A tracheotomy is when they dig a hole, operate a hole in your throat here. And you breathe out of your throat. Well, guess what he did? He put his cigarette right to that hole. My heart went out to him, because unless you've had that addiction, you just don't know what it's like. They say cigarette smoking is harder to kick than drugs. Cigarette smoking. And especially back in the old days when it was unfiltered. So I came up in a day when it was there were no such thing as filtered cigarettes. That wasn't a cigarette. You know, there's a cigarette. I walk a mile for a Campbell, you know. This is the way it was. Chesterfield cigarettes, you know. And that's what the old-timers smoked. But here's a man, he couldn't turn loose of those cigarettes, even though it was killing him. And here's why. It's in our text. The old is better. He had never tasted of the new. He had nothing to compare it to. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is it not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Why would they say that after God had brought them through the Red Sea? Why would they say that? Because the old was better. The Lord said, remember Lot's wife. Why did he say that? Why did they say that? In this context, remember Lot's wife. And remember, I've been telling you, you know that you're in the last of the last days when you see these two things simultaneously together, as the Lord predicted they would be in Luke 17. When you see the days of Noah and the days of Lot running parallel together at the same time, you know it's over. Now, what highlighted the days of Noah? One word, violence. What highlights the days of Lot? One word, sodomy. Today, for the first time, this is the first time in history of man that you've seen these two running parallel together. Violence and sodomy running together. Never seen this before. Then you know it's over. And we're just about there. But the question that I'm posing to you is, why did Mrs. Lot look back? Why did she look back? Because in our text again, she found what? The old was better. And sometimes, as I've been coming here many, many years, and there are people who are not here at Curtis, it's not because of death. It's not because they've relocated. It's not because of this or that. One word sums it up. They found the old was better. The old life that they were living were better. You know, the Lord Jesus said that the seed fell on four different types of ground. Speaking of people, it fell upon by the wayside. It fell upon the stones. It fell upon the thorns. Then it fell into good ground. But let's look at those stones. It fell upon the stones. It endured for a while. But when testing time came, when the sun came up, they fell away. Why? These are people. They fell away. They endured for a while. They fell away. Why? They found the old life was better. He couldn't break her loose from the cigarettes, even though it was going to kill him. Why? Because the old was better. And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And Naomi said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." Why did Orpah turn back to her people and to her gods? According to our text, the old was better. You see, you can only fake it so long, and the truth will come out. No lie will live forever. There are many people, disciples, that follow the Lord. Until the Lord said, "No man can come to me except the Spirit of God draw him." And when they heard this, many of his disciples, followers, turned back and followed him no more. Why did they turn back? They found the old was better. Some seed fell upon good ground, and the good ground brought forth. Why? Because it was genuine. The good ground brought forth because it received the conviction. It received the raking, the hoeing. This is the reason why when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, Joshua had them eat of the old corn. What was that a story of? Old corn. Well, number one, they didn't have time to grow the new corn. And the old corn would let them know, hey, depend upon the old paths. Depend upon the old way. Don't try anything new, because if it's new, it's not true, even though it may be true and new to you. But it's old. And old corn will get you somewhere. The old scriptures, the old orthodox way will get you somewhere. And then, if you notice, in Nehemiah chapter 3, you have 10 gates that Nehemiah, who is a layman, that he set up. 10 gates. But in a real sense, if you study those gates, there are really only 9. But you'll count 10. But you'll count Sheep Gate twice. Interesting. You know why? Because in the first verse, Nehemiah 3:1, you'll find the Sheep Gate. And the Lord always comes to the Sheep Gate. Why? Because he is the shepherd of the sheep. He is the good shepherd of the sheep. And why is he good? There's only one reason. Because he's God. He is the great shepherd. And why is he great? Because he provides a great salvation. And he is the chief shepherd. And why is he the chief shepherd? Because he is the chief cornerstone of the church. In other words, when you come to Curtis, as I've been for many, many years, I'm still hearing what I heard when I first started coming from your dad. And that is the old past, the old corn. But then in Nehemiah 3,
first gate is the sheep gate, and then the last gate, 39, verse 3, is the sheep gate. He starts with the sheep. He starts with a certain number, and he ends with a certain number. None of them are lost. That's why it's repeated twice. But then there's the dung gate you find in those 10. The dung gate. And before you can be saved, you must realize that you're dung. That's the gate you must come through. In other words, that speaks of what Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Now, you see, it takes a mature Christian to see how wretched they still are. But he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this flesh?" Every time I want to do good, evil is always there. And that's the same thing that's true with us. Every time we want to do good, evil is there. Why is it there? Why is it there? Why? Because that old man is still with you, and that old man has seniority over you. He was there first. And he pleads his seniority rights on occasion with your attitude, with your speech, with the way you look at things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Those three fellows will always be with us until we receive our new bodies. So you have to come to that dung gate and say, "Lord, I'm wretched. I'm undone. I'm fit for the pit." Admit that. And God says, now you understand. You have to be dead to be made alive. You have to be blind to see. You have to be halt to walk. And you have to be deaf to hear. You know, Jacob had to find that out the hard way. Steve, you know that? He thought he could wrestle with God. The only problem is he found out that his arms were too short. He found out the hard way that his arms were too short to box with God. So who won that fight? Who won that wrestling match? A lot of Christians. You ask the average Christian that, they wouldn't tell. They couldn't tell. Jacob won. Yeah, he won. You know why? God is not going to wrestle with you. He's going to let you have your own way if that's what you choose. He'll stand back. He'll let you in. But when Jacob walked away, how did he walk? He walked with a limp to let him know who really won that fight. So it's a lot easier to let the Lord have his way than to try to wrestle with God. You know, all of us walk with limps. All of us. Not a person in here that doesn't walk with a limp. Some are visible. But the worst are invisible. And those are the ones that your wife knows about. Those are the ones your husband knows about. Those are the ones that you know about. Those are the ones that God knows about. And that's why we all need prayer. All need prayer. When you see that man standing up on that freeway overdrive or his telegraph on the side there, with a sign, "Will work for food," a poor vet, homeless vet. You may write that man off and say, "Well, you know, that's his tough luck." You don't say it. But keep passing him up says the same thing. I mean, I'm not saying that every one of them, but you can't say every one of them are out to deceive people or out to scam people. Every one of them. All of them. It's just like Christians are the most miser of givers. They are. Sometimes when we get our car wash, if I'm with my wife, well, she gets a car wash. I said this, that I am going to wait and to find out when she gets her car wash, and I'm going to disguise myself as one of the dryers so I can get a tip and retire. She is the most generous lady I've seen when it comes to tips. My goodness, I'm gonna get us. I know when I'm driving, and especially if we stop and there's a guy there with a sign, and if we have to, and nobody is behind me, and say, "Why don't you give him?" Okay, I give him. It's like when our boys were coming up, and they had to go to the restroom. She make an announcement. She go right into the ladies' room with the boys, and she make an announcement. My boys are coming in. Close your eyes. They got to use this bathroom. She never let them go into the boys' room by themselves. And that did. They were 18 until they went into the bathroom. That lady right there. I'm telling you, 18. Man, she didn't play that. She was ahead of this curve a long time ago. And when she comes to that side, she said, can you give him a little something? Okay, I may pull out a couple of dollars. She snatched my dollar and put it at $5. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to get out of there and hold on the side. But we have the saints. I started at the Wayne County Jail, early 60s. You can't tell me anything about missions. I started there. And I didn't start there to preach. I didn't start there to preach. I started there to help. Asked Pastor Coleman, I said, what's going on outside of here? He said, well, there's the Wayne County Jail Ministry. I said, well, I'd like to try that. I don't know who. He said, well, I know the deacons from Second Baptist that run that place. And they ran it back then. Nothing like it is now. But they ran that place. And he said, I know them. I'll let them know you're coming when you get ready to come, and they'll show you the ropes. I said, would you? He did. And so one day, and you know the rest of the story, the preacher didn't show up. Now, there's just two of us and myself and two deacons, and they weren't preachers. They basically were there to introduce the preacher, pass out literature, lead a song, and that's it. And turn it over to the minister or the preacher. And he didn't show up. So they looked back at me, and I looked back to see who was behind me. Nobody behind me. They said, well, Brother Ken, you got a word? I said, wow. Pastor Coleman always said, be ready to preach, pray, and die at a moment's notice. And every Christian should be ready to preach, pray, and die. Because you may have to. You may have to preach one day to somebody. Nobody's there but you. This person is in a hospice condition. The family is around. And it amazes me how many times I've gone into a room, so-called Christians, family member dying. Nobody has a word. No Bibles. I said, what is this? What kind of place is this? Nobody's saying anything. And yet I have to open. Don't wait for me. I can't be everywhere. You should be able to have a word. You should be able to stand up. You should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, knowing it's the power of God unto salvation. A word in season is always ready. You should always be ready for that. Well, sad to say, it's not always the case. And then, yesterday, I was with this person, and they're not long for this life. They couldn't hear me, or maybe they could. Because I had another situation many years ago when the technicians that were in there, they said, well, it'll have to be a private visit because he can't hear you. I said, well, I don't know if he can hear me or not, but I know he's not ready to die. And so I'm going to talk to him. They said, and they left. That's good. Let the devil get out of here so we have free course with the Word of God. And I said, Bill, you're not ready to die. You're not ready to die because you're not ready to live. And you're not ready to live until you'll accept Christ as Lord and Savior. You say, you know this. Your mother's in heaven. Your dad's in heaven. And you're going to hell without the Lord. Well, no reaction, obviously. Well, he was in what they call a coma. And I prayed that he would be saved. I said, if you can hear me, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. It reminds me of last Wednesday. This lady and couple had been coming to the church for weeks. And they came in for marriage counseling, basically. And I don't know why I turned to her and I asked her. He claimed he was saved, and I turned to her. We were talking about something else, but I just felt led. I said, listen, don't mean to be embarrassing or insulting, but if perchance you would precede me in death, do you know where you would spend eternity? You know, this is the first time I've ever had a person say what she said, male or female. And I've been doing this almost 60 years. Never had this before. She says, I'm going to hell. It kind of startled me. I just have never had that quick reaction right in front of her husband. She says, I'm going to hell. And I say, why do you say that? And I never had this reaction either, or this statement. I'm not saved. And I said, what is your name again? My name is Faith. My name is Faith.
I say, God doesn't want faith to go to hell. God doesn't want faith to go to hell. I say, I don't know who named you that, but evidently it was the providence of God involved, because God knew that you would be here at this date, this time, to hear this word, that faith should not go to hell, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and by grace are we saved through faith. And right there, she gave her heart to the Lord. And when she came back the next Sunday there, she didn't mind me using her as an example of what can happen the minute you give your life. All she was doing was waiting for somebody to ask her. That's all. And there are a lot of people out there just waiting for someone, because Paul is already planted. Apollos is already watered. And God wants to use you to give that increase, if you will. Unless you have found yourself that the old is better. The old ways don't witness. It's better. A lot more comfortable, isn't it? It's like the fella, I've asked many good friends of mine, I said, how's your son? Great. Graduated from MIT. Other one is going to Northwestern. My daughter's at Northwestern. One is at Columbia. They're doing great. I said, listen, how are your children? Pray for them. They're on their way to hell. I said, you should have said that at first. See, when we ask Christians, when we talk about our children, we don't start where we ought to start, at that dung gate. No, we don't start there. And even if they're Christians, you could at least say, pray for them. Because 90% of those who go to secular school, quote, lose their faith. I mean, secular school, lose their, because they were never rooted and grounded in the truth to begin with. You didn't recognize that. And if you did recognize that, why would you send them off to these God-forsaken schools that they're in? And I mean just about practically all of them. Unless you yourself have found the old to be better. The Lord Jesus said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you. And this is to the church at Galatia. How could you be removed to another gospel? Oh, foolish Galatians, who has tricked you? Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth? What caused the church at Galatia? Paul had just left there to turn away so soon from the truth of the gospel and embrace another gospel, which is not another. You know why? They found the old to be better. Even at the church of Laodicea. You know what Laodicea means? And this is the church we're living in right now. That's neither hot nor cold. But they're rich. They claim, they thought they were rich and increased with good, and they have need of nothing, meaning not even the Lord. We can handle this. And they run the church like they run a secular organization. The Lord has nothing to do with it. Spirit of God has nothing to say about this. We got this. It's so bad that the Lord was put out of the church, and he's knocking on the outside. And the average church today, he's knocking to get in. And he's no longer speaking to the congregations. I don't believe that today, by and large. He's speaking to individuals in the congregation that can hear his voice. That's why he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart. I'm put out of the church, but I'm standing at the door of individuals' hearts in the church that will hear my voice. And I will have a relationship with them, and they with me. And I consider myself to be just one in the church, in God's church, that's willing, basically, to hear his voice. Hear his voice. And when a preacher gets up to preach, I don't want to hear him. Thank God for him. God, I want God to use him. I pray for him that God will use him. But I listen to hear his voice. But he said, he that heareth my word, John 5:24, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. So I shared that with Bill and came back a week later.
And lo and behold, Bill was sitting up. I said, wow, I was surprised. And I said, Bill, I said, praise God. I said, you know, I was here last week.
You know what Bill said? I know it. No, I wasn't going to go for the fluff. I say, you say you know it. What did I tell you? He said, you told me I was going to hell. I said, I was here.
I said, now,
what else did I tell you? He said, I need not go there if I trust the Lord Jesus. And what else? And what else? What did you do? He said, I did just that. My wife will tell you, in less than 6 months, I baptized him. And he gave that exact testimony. Why do I say this? I say this because don't give up on anybody. Because you never know. Listen, listen. God makes everything beautiful when? In his time. But he can't even make it beautiful in his time if we don't preach the gospel. And even those who we're not sure about. I heard Dr. McGee say this about his daughter. And she made a profession of faith early on, like some of our children. But he said on occasion, I'd ask her, are you sure? You know, when the Apostle Paul said, examine yourselves, he wasn't speaking of the lost. They can't examine themselves. They have nothing to examine themselves with. He's speaking to Christians. Why? Because there will be many in that day that will say, Lord, Lord. And he will say, I never knew you. That takes care of being saved and being lost. I never knew you. He starts and he concludes with all of those that are genuinely his. Why? Because they genuinely went through the dung gate and saw themselves as he saw them. And when they went through that dung gate, they got up and they went through the old gate. And that's number four, the fourth gate. And that speaks of the world. The world is shut up to a cross. How do I know that it's not rituals, it's not ordinances, it's not baptisms of any kind that will get us there? How do I know? Short and in brief. Because of the nail prints in his hands and the indention in his side. Those will be the only things from time that will be in the New Jerusalem and in eternity to remind us of this veiled space of time. That's it. That's it. Name another one. Name what ritual? What ordinance? Name it. Name one. Can't do it. When Thomas wasn't there, he said, Thomas, see the nail prints in my hands and reach thither. And then he said, thrust your hand. Thrust your hand into my side. It was still there. That gaping wound of that spear was still there. Thrust your hand into my side. Be not faithless, but believe it. He didn't do it. I don't think he did it. He saw it. My Lord and my God, my Creator, my Redeemer, Thomas, because you have seen me. You don't get the blessing. Blessed are they that have never seen what you have seen, and yet they believe. Oh, get that, saints. The only thing in glory will be a marked man, and the only marked man will be there, so that you will not have to be marked. And understand this, and I say it reverently, if you go to hell, you'll beat the devil there because he is not there. Not yet. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Hell is a prepared place for unprepared people. Don't go there. And God has done all that he can do to keep you out of a devil. none of them are lost. None of them are lost. You see, it comes down to this, friend. People do not want to go through that old gate. They want to okay, let's think of the gates that they like today that we hear in churches. They want a musical gate. You want to fill this place up? You want a drama gate, theatrical gate. They want a contemporary gate, but they certainly don't want the old gate. But it's there. Read it sometimes. Of all the gates of the ten, really the nine, but Sheep Gate is mentioned twice. I like to talk about the Eastern Gate, but and that's not has absolutely nothing to do with the Eastern Gate sealed up. People, I tell you, when you just hear something repeated over and over again, you begin to latch on it and think that's the reality. It has nothing to do with that. It's lightweight stuff. People who haven't studied to show themselves approved. Just make sure that if you've gone through the old gate, that means the orthodox way. I am the way. Truth. Notice what he said. I am the way. Definite article. One way. I said this to my brother, my oldest brother. Sometimes we would go into a gas station, a restaurant, Islamic place, and he'd hear them speaking Arabic, and he'd cut in the conversation, and they stand amazed. They didn't know that he taught Arabic in school. And they said, boy, one said to me, is that your brother? I said, yeah, he's good. He's good. But he wasn't saved. And before the Lord took him, I challenged him. My mother had to challenge me, first of all. She said, the way you badger him is not going to help him. And the Lord spoke to me, and I backed off to a great degree. Wait for an opening. And there was an opening. And I said to him, I said, brother, and he loved our mother who's in heaven. He loved our mother, I think, to a degree more than me. And I feel I'm standing here because of her. And I'm the man that I am chiefly because of her. When kids were outside playing and running around, we were in the house learning Bible verses, having family devotion. It was 95 outside. It was 125 inside that house. And I was thinking, hearing all my boys, oh, he got to go in and have devotion. Oh, that hurt me so bad. But all of them are dead now. And my mother used to tell me, she said, one day you'll thank me for this. And I used to roll my lip up, that'll be the day. Well, before she left here, I thanked her. She used to also say, you're going to thank me for every one of these whippings. Because see, Dan, when I got a whipping, I had to quote the scripture. If thou beatest the child with the rod, and by the time I got to hell, that's when she cut loose on me. He shall not die, but thou shalt save his soul from hell. She said, now, are you going to die? I said, you're killing me. She said, but what did the Bible say? She was old fashioned. She said, you're going to thank me for this. And I did. I said, Mom, I thank you for those. Because all my friends that I grew up with in the Brewster Projects of Hastings Street, they're all gone. I'm still here because you had those family devotions that you led me through to Christ. In a sense, you led me through the old gate. So what you have here at Curtis and have had down through the years, how many years you'll be celebrating? Hey! How many years you celebrating? 100? I don't know of another assembly. The closest one, not in this area, the closest one is the church we're named after in Harlem, New York, Grace Gospel Chapel, 1914. That's the closest one that I know. And now, I just haven't heard of any of them. And let me tell you something about it. And that's why when Brother Nottage came to Detroit from there, he was born in the Bahamas. Scottish missionaries came to the Bahamas, led him to the Lord, based upon the prayers of his mother, 8 sons, and 6 of them went into the ministry. And 6 of them became missionaries to the United States. Nothing but mothers answered prayer. Nothing but that. And he started with others, elders, Grace Gospel Chapel, 133rd Street and Lenox Avenue in New York City. We go there on occasion. And his picture is still up there with some other elders. And every Sunday, and they're on the marquee of the city register of places to visit. Not because they asked to be, because they have made such an impact, particularly in Harlem, New York. Such an impact. Listen to this. That is nothing for them to have 150 people there to break bread from across the seas. I didn't say visitors from the state, from the city, from overseas. Name the country, and they're there. You have never seen that. You have never seen that or heard of that of any assembly. It's a 50, that's mild. I'm talking about from Europe. You name it, France, Africa, name it. We were there for a conference, and they had about 150 from out of the country. And that's not unusual. Why am I saying that? I'm saying this to encourage you. Stay with the old stuff. Stay with the old corn. Stay with what Jeremiah says. Stand in the ways and see and ask continually of the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your soul. Never come to that conclusion that the old is better, because what you'll be saying is, I was never saved. Because if any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And the proof of that is in John 2, when the Lord served, first men served, you know, the good wine, and then they pulled it back, and then they served the old wine, and when the new wine comes, you can't tell the difference. You can't tell the difference. But after men had well drunk, in other words, after you've had your fill of this world, and you taste and see that the Lord is good, you say, oh, this is better. Father, we give thanks that you're still able to save to the uttermost those who have come to you by Christ Jesus. This is why he came. This is why he died. This is why he was buried. And this is why he rose, and this is why he lives, to save to the guttermost, or to the uttermost, those who will come to you by himself. Granted so. Thank you for Curtis. Thank you for its longevity. Continue to cause it to be a light in a dark place until the day dawns and the day star rises in each of our hearts. For Christ's sake, amen. Ahem.